Thank you, ladies. Good morning. So as I was preparing the sermon this week, I came across a pretty neat little story. It was about a mom who, her children, very, very young, were trying to convince her to buy them a hamster as a pet. And she didn't want to do it because she knew who was going to take care of the hamster. Mom, right? So she said no, and the kids kept asking her, and finally she said, and they promised, they said, we will take care of this hamster. So they went to the store, they went to the pet store, and they got a hamster. And they named him Danny. Say Danny with me, Danny. Danny, yeah. There's a reason why I want you to do that. Within 2 months, guess who was taking care of the hamster? Mom. She was taking care of Danny. She got fed up. So she wanted to break it to the kids. She's thinking, we got to get rid of this hamster. We got to get rid of who? Danny. So she got the kids together, and she said, we're gonna. Danny has got to go. Okay. They were like, oh, really? Does he have to? She said, yeah. One child said, I'm gonna miss him. He's been around for a while. Then another child said, maybe he could stay if he ate less and wasn't so messy. But mom was firm. Mom said, it's time to take who? Time to take Danny back to the pet store. Realization dawned on them. They started crying uncontrollably. They said, Danny, we thought you meant daddy. Sometimes as dads, we kind of feel that way, don't we? We don't really... We don't see ourselves in the best light. And because of that, we look in the mirror and we see a fractured picture of who we are. We don't really see who God has created us to be. We don't see who the person that God wants us to be. We're gonna kind of flip that today. But I got a question for you. We're gonna talk about what we can be thankful to our Heavenly Father about and our earthly dads. But I wanna ask you dads, what are some things that you are thankful for as a father? Just kind of share something with us. What are some things that you are thankful for as a father? Wife and children, you are a smart and wise man. Wow. Yeah, wife and children, of course. Yes, absolutely. What else? What are some of the things that you are, as a father, about having kids, about having a family, What are you thankful for? Job? Yeah, to be able to provide for your children? Absolutely. What else? Nothing. No, I know you do. What are a couple more things that you're thankful for about being a father? Right, seeing them go from little tiny to yeah, absolutely. That's really good. One more. What are you thankful for about being a dad? Opportunity in what way? Investing in them and, yeah. That's good. Yeah, that's good. Those are good things. Some of the things, I think about, especially when they were younger. They don't do this so much anymore. I actually don't do it at all anymore. Johnny's 2 inches taller than I am. It would be kind of weird. But when I would come in the house, they would, Daddy, Daddy, they would run. They would jump up in my arms. If Johnny did that today, it would hurt. But when they were little, it was, I'd be driving. I'm like, I can't wait to get home. And it was one of those things that was just so, it was so meaningful. It was a little thing, but it was so meaningful and impactful. Things like that, things like what we've shared today about opportunity and growth and that kind of thing. It's good to be a dad. It really is. And today is Father's Day, and I want to honor our Heavenly Father as well as the dads. And again, like I said, it's not just about dads. We all have impact. We all have influence. We all have a part in the development of our families. So this kind of, even though we're kind of addressing dads, kind of think about how it also kind of applies to each and every one of us, okay? So you can follow along in your notes. Going to be very, very brief today. Happy Father's Day. One of the things that we can be thankful for is we can thank God for his provision. Somebody mentioned that about having a job. One of the things as a man, we get our identity from different ways than moms do. But one of the things that is really important to us is to be able to provide for our children. We have a father that does that. Matthew 6, 31 through 33 says this. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what will we eat? What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Our heavenly Father is a good father who provides for his children. He knows what we need before we even know ourselves. Now, it's not necessarily he gives us anything that we want, but he definitely knows what we need in order to grow and develop. Sometimes that means, financial provision or food, clothes, a lot of things. Sometimes it also means going through maybe a struggle to make us stronger in an area. Whatever the case may be, God tells us, don't be anxious. We talked a little bit about that last week. He says, don't be anxious, don't be fearful, don't be worried. Why? Because he's a faithful father who provides for his children. And you know, we see in James chapter 1, verse 17, it says, every, if you'd like to write in your Bibles, you might want to circle that word or underline that word, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness of shadow of due to change. In other words, he's not willy-nilly. He's steady. He's always giving that which is good. There are innumerable blessings showered upon us on a regular basis. Some of those things are pretty big. How many of you have heard the name George Mueller? A lot of us have. George Mueller, he cared for orphans. My wife told me last week that my New England accent came out a couple of extra times last week, so it might happen today. He cared for orphans in England. And miraculously, there were times when he would pray and God would intervene. There was one time in particular, he had dozens and dozens of children in this home, orphans. And there was no milk. They were all out of milk. So it was breakfast time. He had them, he said, come on out. He had them all sit down. And he started to pray. There was nothing in front of the kids. They had some oats that they were, but it was dried oats. And they sat down and George Mueller just got up. He said, Lord, you know what we need. Can you take care of us today? As soon as he was finished praying, there was a knock on the door. And there was a man, was at the door, and he said, Mr. Mueller, my truck just broke down. It's full of milk, and it's going to go bad. Do you want it? That's a big, instant, wow, I can't believe that he did that. So there are some times that there's big things that God will say, I'm going to bless you with this as my child. Here you go. Okay? Some things are not so big. Some things are subtle, but just as important. For instance, Job 12:10 says, in whose hand is the soul of every living thing, talking about the Lord, and the breath of all mankind. You know what that means? Every breath you and I take is a gift from God. We don't think about that. We just kind of breathe. We just kind of take it for granted unless, we're swimming or something like that, or we have a cold or congested. We don't really think about breathing. And I'm not recommending that today when you go home, think about every breath you take. But it is a gift from God. Every good gift. So some things are big, some things are not so big. Some blessings can be a little complicated and maybe not so obvious. There was in Czechoslovakia years ago, there was a woman named Vera, and she found out that her husband was being unfaithful to her. And she was contemplating taking either her life or his. She was in this state, yeah. Yeah. She just was distraught. She was down and out. She lived on the third story in Czechoslovakia, third story window apartment, and she jumped out the window. She only got a couple of scrapes and bruises though, because apparently her husband was coming in at the same time. She landed on him and killed him. So, I mean, it's kind of confusing, kind of weird, but you cannot argue with the blessings of God when they happen. I mean, sometimes you don't expect them. It's just kind of the way it is. But the bottom line is, we can be thankful for a Father who provides for all of our needs and sometimes our desires as well, okay? Psalm 100 verse 4 says this, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name." We can do that every day. Every day there's something to be thankful for. I know we live in a fallen world. We have fallen flesh, and I know that there's challenges and there's struggles. I know everything's not sunshine and rainbows. I get it. But we do have a Father that loves us and provides for us, and we can be thankful. We can look through that. We also have earthly fathers who are that we can be thankful for provision. You guys are familiar with 1 Timothy 5:8. It says, "If any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he has denied the faith, and is worse than an infidel, or unbeliever." It's a powerful statement. The underlying premise to the statement, by the way, is good God-honoring fathers naturally provide for their children. This is not one of those things where Paul's telling Timothy, you haven't done this. You need to start doing this. It's kind of one of those things like a good father, that's part of who he is. He provides for his family. And you know, I kind of think about, it's hard not to on Father's Day to think about your own dad, whether he's still with you or not. My dad is no longer with us, but my dad had a couple of character traits that were obvious and ingrained them. One of them was his work ethic, and in my eyes, you know, my dad was Superman. How many of you went through a phase, or maybe still are, where you know you look at you thinking about your dad, you think your dad's Superman? How many of you are like that? Johnny, put your hand up. Johnny, put your hand up. Okay, yeah, good, yeah. Okay, we do. I mean, we do. You know, and then there comes a point in time where you realize that he's a guy. He's a regular guy. But I used to think about my dad. I used to look at him. I'm like, man, this guy's Superman. And you know, one of the things about my dad is I never saw him miss a day of work, ever. Now, don't get me wrong. I saw him sick and injured. But I never saw him miss a day of work. He even fell into a pit at work, and a spike went through his foot. He went to the emergency room, got it patched up, and came right back to work. It's just who he was. It's just the kind of guy he was. And why would he do that? Because he believed the good father provides for his family, and he was right. And there are dozens of dads, dozens of men in here today that you do that. You go and you work and you provide for your family, and that's a picture of our Heavenly Father who takes care of us every day. One of the things that we need to understand being a dad is we get to be the representation of God the Father in our home to our children. And when we do that, when we're providing for our children, that's what happens. So we thank God for his provision. We can thank God also for his instruction. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness." Our Heavenly Father is a good Father who teaches his children. Some of the biggest lessons I ever learned, I learned from my dad or dad figures in my life, whether an uncle or a mentor at church or something like that. Some of the best lessons that I've ever received were from men who looked and said, Let me help you with this. I can give you some guidance in this. And that's what we have that as an opportunity. But God does that with his word. This word that's used here, inspiration, is a unique word in the Greek. It's made up of two words. It's the word theonoustos. Theo is God, noustos is breathe. The Bible that you hold in your hand or that's on your phone or that whatever, is literally breathed out by God. And that takes on a special significance in light of Psalm 33, verse 6. It says, "By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth." Our Heavenly Father gives us faithful instruction in the same way that he created the sun, the moon, and the stars, and everything in it. The same words that he used to make everything that there is, he gives us a physical copy of it. He gives us a word that we can look to and we can be guided by. As a side note, this when I think about God speaking everything into existence. Super sensitive scientific equipment. I think they actually discovered this maybe 12 years ago, but they continue to confirm it. Super sensitive listening equipment has found that there's an underlying sound reverberating in the universe. Everywhere they point this equipment, these sensitive equipment, they receive back this underlying sound in the background sound. And they, scientists, they'll say, we really don't know what that is. Some scientists think that it could be the echo of God's voice when he said, let there be light. Don't know, maybe. What is interesting, scientists today have recently speculated that at the edge of our universe, there are 4,800 new stars coming into existence every second. Some scientists say that's the echo, the result of the echo of God's voice when he said, let there be light. He's still making that happen today. I don't know, maybe. What I do know is, I get chills thinking about it, what I do know is the same word, the same voice from God, the same breath of God that made everything and could quite possibly still be making things is the same word we have and we have access to every single day. He gives us that kind of instruction. The verse in 2 Timothy, given by inspiration, is profitable for doctrine. Doctrine is what is right. For reproof, reproof is what is wrong. So God says, this is right, this is wrong. Absolute truth. I know we live in a world that doesn't want to believe that, but the truth is, there is such thing as absolute truth. And God gets to determine what that is. So doctrine is what is right. Reproof is what is wrong. Correction is how to get right. Instruction is righteousness is how to stay right. God gives it to us all. And it's all in his word. And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. We have, and here's the neat thing. We have as much of it as we want. Dads, husbands, grandfathers, uncles. I guarantee you that if your wife, wants the lawn mowed, but she sees you reading your Bible, she's going to let you finish your Bible. Now, don't go home and just carry it around with you all the time and be like, oh, you want the trash taken? I'm reading God's word, honey. I'm sorry, I can't do it. That's not the excuse. I see a couple of you are like, hey, that's a good idea. Not a good idea, okay? But the truth of the matter is we have as much of it as we want, right? We see in James chapter 1, verse 5, some reason my thing's not working today. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God who gives generously to all without reproach, and it shall be given to him. God says, I'll give you as much as you want. I'll give you as much of my mind, my heart, my word. I'll give you as much as you want. You just have to ask for it. So God doesn't hold back. He keeps giving us. It's like a feast that we can pull up our chair to and say, Lord, what do you have to teach me today? And I'll recommend to all of us, men, women, children, everybody, in the mornings or in the nights, whenever you do your devotional time, start out this way. Lord, show me what you want me to know today. Sounds so simple. But I know that there have been times when I just, I want to do my devotional time. I open God's word. I read. And there's always something in there for me. But the days that I prepare my heart, I'm like, Lord, I really want, guide me. Show me what it is today that you want me to have. And he always answers that prayer. So that's kind of, God gives us as much as we want. And he gives us faithful instruction. And we have earthly fathers that we can thank for faithful instruction. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 6. It says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. That word provoke comes from a word that means poke. It doesn't mean telling a child something that's wrong that he's doing. It doesn't mean that. It means trying to incite something. Trying to pick a fight, okay? It says, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up, nurture them in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Dads, uncles, grandfathers, men, moms, it's our responsibility to instruct our children in the ways of the Lord. We teach, get this for a second, ready? We teach our boys how to become men, and we teach our girls to stay away from them. That's what we do, okay? But it's our duty. Proverbs 22:6. You know this verse. Train up a child in the way he will go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. A couple of pictures here. The word old comes from a Hebrew word that means peach fuzz. So it doesn't mean that when they're old and gray. It means as they're growing into adulthood, womanhood and manhood. Not that women have peach fuzz and have to shave. You know what I mean? It's that age group, right? It's investing in them so that as they're doing that transition and moving from being children to being adults, that's when God's word begins to start becoming a part of who they are. And they grow in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The picture also here is that of kind of training a plant or a tree to kind of go in a certain direction that's going to bear the most fruit. It may mean pruning, it may mean watering, it may mean it's that nurturing. And you know, we get to teach our kids. Usually we teach our kids what we know, but sometimes we got to teach our kids what we don't know, right? When my kids were younger in school, they knew never to come to dad when it came to math. Dad does not know math very well. I can add, subtract, multiply, and most of the times divide. But they went to mom for that. But there were things that they would go to me, and I'd be like, I'm not so sure about this, but let's figure it out. And I had the opportunity, the privilege and the honor to instruct them, to help grow them. And that's a beautiful thing. It's something that we can invest into our children. How many of you would say that you have a green thumb? You know what that means. You plant something and it grows. How many green thumb people in here? Okay, a couple of you are like me. You have a death thumb, right? Right, Kurt, you and I, we got like this death. Oh yeah, he's like, this is my thumb, here it goes. Okay, that's how mine is. But I have a botanist friend that, you know, he's like Johnny Appleseed. He just kind of walks by things and they grow. It's really weird, you know. And you know, I asked him one day. I'm like, how in the world do you do it? Because I put something in, and it's probably dead before I even put it there, you know. And this is what he said. I said, what's your secret? Because I want to know how to grow things. This is what he said. He said, patience, love, tender care, daily watering and feeding. My first response was, that sounds like a lot of work. And this is what he said. I got his quote. He actually told me this. If I can get this thing to work, maybe not. He said, well, you reap what you sow. And I walked away from that thinking, so patience, love, tender care. So it's like raising a child. And he said, it's exactly like raising a child. He's got two kids of himself, his own. He said, you reap what you sow. What you put in is what you get out. We have that honor of instructing our children, of giving them the word of God and instructing them in things of life. We get to teach them how to ride a bike. We get to teach them how to climb a tree when mom's not watching. We get to do a lot of things like that, right? But it's an honor. And our Heavenly Father is a faithful instructor. And he says, you're my representative at home. You be a faithful instructor. And so I want to thank the dads in here for being faithful instructors. I know it's we get a lot of pressures on us, a lot of call on our lives, but we get the opportunity to invest in our children in such a way that they can become adults that are following the Lord and pleasing to our Heavenly Father. It's a beautiful thing. Our final one today is we can thank God for his example. Thank God for his example. And by this I mean a godly example for life, okay? It was one of our Lord's most prominent teaching techniques. He didn't just say, he did, okay? He didn't just say, he did. John 13:15. It says, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. He didn't just lecture, he illustrated. He lived what he taught. So if there's any kind of warning today, so I told you guys that I wasn't going to beat us up as dads. I'm definitely not. But if there's one like warning in all this, make sure your walk and your talk match. If they don't, you completely lose credibility. Your walk and your talk need to be in tandem, the same both ways. Because you can't do the old saying of, do what I say, not as I, right? They gotta be the same. They gotta be the same, okay? And we get that privilege. Paul was big on that. Paul, in 1 Corinthians 11:1, said this, be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now, at first glance, you're like, whoa, Paul, that's a little prideful. Be followers of me. Notice what he's saying. He didn't say, hey, do whatever I do because I'm a superstar. He said, the things that I do that are like Christ, do those things. Follow me as I follow Christ. And we can say that to our children. We can say to our children, our sons and our daughters, our nieces, our nephews, the young people in this church, the young people in this church, that we got a lot of little ones running around, as you can see. They're watching not just mom and dad, aunts and uncles, grandfathers and grandmothers. They're watching all of you. All of us have this wonderful responsibility. Paul wasn't perfect, and he knew it, but he said, as I walk and follow Christ, follow me. And guess what? You'll be following Christ too. And this is the privilege that we have of living like Jesus in our homes, of being that representation of God in our homes. When our children, especially when they're young, they look to us. They don't make us gods in their mind, but they look to us as, you know, they're like, we call God Father, and we're their earthly Father. So they make that association from a very, very early age. And when they look at us, they think, okay, so that is that what God is like? Dad, you call him, you call Jesus your father. You're my father. Is that, you see the connection there? And that's what Paul made that connection. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. Now, dads, I want to get kind of real with you for a second. I know that maybe you can relate to this. I know when my children were younger, I struggled like most men with feelings of failure and feelings of inadequacy. And, you know, there's not a dad on the planet that hasn't gone through one point in time and say, man, I'm just kind of striking out as a dad, right? We kind of go through that. And I was kind of going through this and, you know, because the world and kind of things that were going on, some of it's my own stuff. I kept getting reminded of my mistakes as a man, as a husband, as a father, as a brother. And I was on a verge of losing myself to the sorrow of self-sabotage. There was a point in time where I stepped back and I'm like, I'm not doing great. I'm striking out every turn. Good chance that a lot of us have kind of experienced that. And then one day I was studying and I came across this verse, 1 Timothy 4:12. It says, let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. These are Paul's words to Timothy, who was already a man. Timothy was already a man at this point, okay, with immense responsibilities. And when I started, when I came to that verse during that time, I thought about Paul following Jesus, Timothy following Paul, and the people that were in Timothy's life following. But they were all not really, they're following God. And Paul said to Timothy, make sure you live an example that's worth being followed. And that's a duty, yes, but it's also a privilege that we have as dads, as moms, as uncles and aunts, as grandparents. We have that privilege of walking in such a way as to illustrate the way to live life following God. And you know, I kind of got, as I was going through this time period, you know, the Lord kind of reminded me of who I was because of who He is. And that was really the big turning point for me. Because as a dad, I was like, I strike out. I'm not perfect. And then God reminded me of who He is, that He is perfect, that He loves me like a son, and that I can continue to go and continue to walk and continue to be the best I can to be a faithful man. And you know, I kind of still fought it. I was like, yeah, but why me, Lord? You know me. I strike out more than the average bear. That's how I felt. And, I felt like he was kind of moving me toward the mirror, and I kind of looked in the mirror, and I looked at the man that looking back at me, and I kind of started thinking about all the men that had invested in me, my own father, uncles, my pastor, all these men that just kind of invested in me, and I'm gonna put this statement up on the board for you. This is kind of what I got from God that day, and I want to kind of share it with you. I kind of felt him saying to me, be the kind of man your wife will love until the day you die. Be the kind of man your daughters will look for in a husband. Be the kind of man your son will strive to be as he grows up. Basically, what God was saying is, walk faithfully. Be like me. Keep following. Keep going forward. Proverbs 20, verse 7 says, the just man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. Guys, are we going to be perfect? Definitely not. But you know what? We're not called to be perfect. We're called to be faithful followers of Jesus in order for those that are in our life circle to also follow Jesus. And that's what he's called us to do as dads. Let's bow our heads for a moment and close our eyes. Let me get the worship team up here and get Walter up here. Let me pray for us. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we call you Heavenly Father. And I don't know, I think sometimes that can, we can be so used to that that we forget that you truly are our Father who loves us. So Lord, first and foremost, most of all, we honor you today. Thank you for being provider, for being instructor, for being that example that you want us to follow. Lord, I ask that you would lay your hand of blessing upon everybody here today, but I ask that you would speak to us dads, granddads, uncles, mentors, in dads-to-be. Speak to our hearts today. We beat ourselves up. And no, we're not perfect, and maybe sometimes we should do that self-reflection, and it comes back a little hard, but Lord, remind us of who you are and what you've called us to be. We thank you, we love you. Come to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Walter.